And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, do we have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking lures. We got the boys, Jerry Guzman from JRI. We've got Danny Wade, surface iron expert. Today is going to be a great show. We're going to be talking all kinds of fishing, all kinds of fun, a lot of info, and a whole lot more. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Don't delay and take advantage during Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring sales event. From now until December 6, 2024, eligible new 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboards include up to $500 in dealer credit, and new Yamaha 450 to 425 horsepower outboards include 7 years of coverage protection. 350 to 30 horsepower outboards come with 6 years of coverage protection. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends December 6, 2024, subject change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude new 2.5 to 25 four-stroke outboards and dealer credit up to $500 based on horsepower toward the MSRP value of goods and services purchased at the authorized participating dealer that sold the outboard. At no extra cost to the consumer, new 425 to 450 horsepower is a 24-month Yamaha extended service added to a 60-month factory limited warranty. New 30 to 350 horsepower is a 36-month Yamaha extended service added to a 36-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered by Florida dealers is a Yamaha extended limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha dealer for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rock Cod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, I hope you guys are same.
Weather's beautiful.
We had the
except for where Pete's at.
Yeah, probably a little chilly back east, if I was guessing.
I don't think their high got over freezing.
That's wild.
Right?
That's wild. Yeah, we didn't.
No, thank you.
Yeah, we did in the backyard. The boys are running around with no shoes on. Like, this was a pretty solid San Diego. Yeah. It's a pretty solid San Diego fall, that's for sure. But, yeah, a great one for sure, and certainly a great show having these two guys in here. Jerry, Danny, great to have you guys. So pumped, and thanks for coming and hanging out with us for a couple hours. Morning.
Not a problem, man. Not a problem.
We certainly love it.
I live close.
Danny made a guest appearance for about 20 seconds last Saturday.
Last week had a long Saturday.
I was hoping you were going to come and hang out and talk lures again. We were talking just a little bit before the mics kicked on. What a great year to be in the surface iron world and the business of having not just good fishing, but, you know, you two have done this forever and certainly a lot longer than I. And, Danny, you've had your finger on the pulse forever. But what a season we had of yellowtail fishing at the Coronado Islands, and how great to have a lure company with unbelievable fishing like that.
Exactly. I mean, it was as good as it gets for this local scene. And not only the islands, La Jolla, the same thing. I mean, it was good fishing in La Jolla.
It was it was so fun to see the consistency of guys just trip after trip, skiffs, sport boats, get down there in a kayak, just get there, and you knew there was fishing that was going to be had.
I think it certainly, you know, and this is a business thing, but it certainly helped for the island style of fishing that the offshore thing didn't work out all
right.
That well.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't there.
It was.
And I mean, Steve P was on Mission Bell. He was basically at the islands all year.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who got it started.
That's
you know,
great.
He's the guy who really, oh, here we come.
Yeah.
You know,
that was fun.
Yeah. And it was good. It was stupidly good.
And size-wise, too, right?
Oh, yeah, ridiculous. I mean,
yeah.
Especially that stuff getting into September down there on the pile. Yeah, that was
legit.
That was brutal.
Yeah. What was so great, too, is the consistency of fishing. And I don't want to call it easy because that's never the right word, but you could go into the rack and pick out a JRI stinger and go to the islands, and you knew you were going to be in the game. Like, you knew that the shots were going to be had, and it was just some fun fishing this year.
Yeah, I mean, actually kind of talking on top of the Coronados, one of the coolest things we've done is every year in early June, we run a seven-dayer on the Intrepid. So we're one of the first long-range boats to actually jet way down south. Mm-hmm. To me, that's like my crystal ball for the year. And this year was amazing. The amount of fish, the quality of fish was the big one. So, we've been doing this for almost 10 years going down, doing our seven-dayer. And what we've seen is we'd get like, if we got a 30-pound yellowtail, we're like, hey, this is cool. This year, it was consistent 30-pounders into the 40s. I think our largest fish was, I believe, 44 pounds, and it was everywhere. And I think as we were cruising down Cedros, the boats there were catching mid-40. I mean, it was standard 40-pounders.
Unbelievable.
So to me, that was the crystal ball of what's coming north. And like what Danny was saying, it when it came to the islands, it was just stupid, insane. It was just, I call it the year of the yellowtail.
Yeah.
You know, add that to the Chinese zodiac. I mean, the year of the yellowtail was this year.
I'll take that every year.
Yeah. I like that.
Don Sansom always said, you know, back in his qualifier days, the golden triangle, Bonitas to Cedrus to San Martin.
Okay.
They live at Bonitas and Cedrus and so on. They swim on up through Geronimo, San Martin. They end up here,
okay,
in one form or another, all the way to, you know, Clemente and Catalina and whatnot. But it's a golden triangle,
yeah.
and it's the home of the yellowtail.
A healthy population down there is great for us.
Yeah, sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What is it? What was it about this year that you think that made it? You know, was it just good condition? Was it food? What was the anomaly that happened that made a year like this so good? You know, is it stars aligning? Is it cycle? Is it meant to be?
Boats were there.
Yeah. Okay.
If the boats aren't there, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
You can send out 700 skiffs down there, and they're not going to tell you what's going on because they don't have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the scanning sonars. They don't have the good up and down stuff. They they don't have the bait. You know, but you get these sport boats in there because there was fish there, and it wasn't offshore. They figured it out. And conditions were good. You know, you get your 7 to 10 days of, you know, your 40s, your 50s, your 20s, your 70s, your 100, and then it'd fall flat on its face for 3 or 4 days, which is typical Coronado Island.
Right.
And then here it comes again. You know, the things straighten out, current starts flowing again, but there's boats there. So whether it's from North Island down to the pile and even down to the 26, you know, there's boats covering all that stuff, so they have an idea of where it is, you know, and you can stay on top of it. It's not really that much different than offshore fishing. You know, if you go out there once a week, oh, well, they're not around. Well, you know, you went left when you should have went right. You know, who knows? But but there were boats in there, and there was fish to be caught.
Yeah. You guys, have, you know, speaking of the sport boats being in there and fishing, you guys have both been around and seen the change of how our boats fish the Coronado Islands now. You know, in the, you know, from just before my time being around the landing, it was all the 2 a.m. departure, you know, overnight style trips, and then, you know, my era was the early trips, but it was fishing on the anchor and, you know, waiting for the conditions to either swing around and the fish come to you, and, you know, sea lions and timing and just the pace have kind of changed that world, and now it's very active hunting, looking with the sonar, unbelievable skill set by the, you know, the operators that are at Coronado Islands, the Taros and Boogers and Brawlas and Steve Pease and, you know, and all the guys that are actively fishing the islands these days. How has that changed your guys' game, the surface iron fishing? Does it make it better? Does it make it different? Does it make it worse? Does it change at all, or is it still look for a condition and fire a good swimming lure out?
To me, I think it's like you said, that chase, that side scanning, that get ready, seeing what's out there. That I think that's what makes jig fishing so much fun now. Like, I mean, yeah, when you're on anchor, that's cool. You know, you're spotting the birds and all that. But when you got, I mean, I remember Stinger back in the day, rest in peace. I mean, he was just fixated on that sonar. And, you know, once those engines crank back, you knew something was up.
Yeah.
Slide that boat, and then it's like, game on, here we go. Because you get that small window of opportunity. And I think that's what it boils down to. And so it's just picking off those few little sound bites. I mean, I still hear that side sort of that, and then that thing just rips off on the PA, and you're like, here we go, it's the game on. And I think that's what makes that fishing just so much fun, because it's these small windows of opportunity. But it's a great time to just start catching. Once you start bringing those fish to the boat, it's like game on. It's just awesome.
You're getting me going.
The adrenaline, yeah, right? You can feel it in your gut right now.
This year, there was a lot of anchor fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys were setting up and waiting for it. Yeah. It depends on the year. It depends on the week. It depends on the month, you know.
And
if the stuff's associated with structure, you're going to sit up on it. But if it's out off of it, then you're going to sony it up and try and get it to come to you.
So you're saying the stuff was, it was inside a little bit more?
It was everywhere that yellowtail traditionally have been at the Coronado Islands for thousands of years.
It gets me excited. You talk about anchor fishing. But
it depends on the day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even, you know, the times I was with Matt and Booger, you know, even in their little spiel, it was, we're going to the islands, we're going to be doing this. If we see the stuff up on the hard areas, we're going to put the hook down, we're going to make them come to us.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't, then we're going to chase it down and make them come to us anyway.
And I'm with Jerry. Like, I love the adrenaline just rush and dump with the, okay, get ready, and, you know, he's on the radio, and, okay, give it to him, and they're, you know, the bait's going over, and all the fun that's associated with it. But how do you say that that's more fun than being on the anchor and seeing the bird starting to fly around, and then see it behind the boat, and then see it walk its way to you, and just knowing, like, oh my God, here it comes, it's almost in range, a little bit more, and boom, a little spot pops up, you make a cast, your lure comes. How do you say that there's anything better than that?
Exactly. It's all good.
Yeah, it is.
You know, as much as I don't want to do yo-yo fishing, it's all good. You know, your shot there on the yo-yo stuff, it was stupidly good this year. Stupidly
good. Speaking of yo-yo fishing, Jerry, you showed us something very special, a brand new something, JRI, that's getting ready to show up, being unveiled at H&M, where Danny, where you work every day. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going on? What's going on with JRI? All the fun stuff you guys have been doing, because you're always in your lab making something new, making something different, making sure what you have is consistent.
So probably in the next week or so, H&M Landing is going to be home of Danny Wade. You know, as you know, back in, during the COVID era, we came out with the DW1 jig, and so what we did was we made the DW1 also surface iron and yo-yo jig. But starting next week, we're going to be having the DW1 made of brass. So H&M Landing is going to be the only place you can get a DW1 in brass. and you know, something a little, pay homage to Danny and stuff like that, and give a little, you know, shout out to H&M for stocking. They're probably our largest supplier of DW1 jigs, so they'll be getting a DW1 in brass.
Now, why I we always hear about it, and you know, the benefit of it, or you know, oh, this one's a brass jig. What's the difference between a brass yo-yo jig and a regular? Like, what's the material makeup of a standard one, and then why would somebody want or even not want to do a brass yo-yo jig?
Sure. So brass is about anywhere between 18 to 22% denser than zinc. That's your standard yo-yo jig is made of zinc. So brass is a little heavier. So it's kind of like everyone switching to the tungsten jig, right? Uh-huh. It's that smaller profile, heavier jig. So obviously we don't do a yo-yo jig out of lead because it's just too soft. So brass being denser, as strong as heck. So, you know, you get that same profile jig. So I'll just use a 6X Junior, for instance. 6X Junior weighs in around 3.6 ounces or so. Our GRI6, same style jig, mm-hmm. same size, comes in brass at 4.6 ounces.
That's so you get much difference, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that extra ounce, let's say you know, you're fishing, the fish are going for smaller bait, you could throw the GRI6, get down deep, get through that water column. You know, the old saying, get it down first, you're first to get bit. That's where we went with the brass. Also, brass is virtually indestructible. I mean, we've casted tens of thousands of brass jigs. I've yet to have a customer to say, I broke a brass jig. You'll break a ring, you'll break a, you know, a hook, bend a hook or something, but to physically break a brass jig is virtually impossible. So,
okay.
So for me, you know, it's cheap insurance. Yes, brass is a little more expensive.
Sure.
But, you know, fishing isn't getting cheaper out there. So if you want to pay a couple extra bucks for that added insurance, you know, that's what brass is for. So this year what we've done across the board for our standard brass jig is we've upgraded our hooks. So I've looked at what's our weak link in our jig, at least with the brass. And it just seems like the customers, you know, I throw that out there to customers and they say, hey, could you get a stronger hook for that brass jig?
Yeah.
So we've went with the Owner ST66 hook on that. So
benchmark.
Yeah. So I know years ago Fisherman's did that as a premium. Mm-hmm. For us, it's a standard for our brass jig. So a little bit more, but you don't have to go buy a packet, you know, all that. You know, they're expensive, but luckily I buy them at bulk.
But the era has changed. You know, I mean, it was
exactly
pre-Bluefin, it was all about, you know, hey, this lure is great, but this one looks just the same, it's a couple bucks cheaper, that's what sells. And you know, then we got into this big Bluefin era of having to change hooks on everything. And, you know, I mean, we see it all the time. A customer base tends to favor a more expensive lure that is built right, that, yep, doesn't need rings changed and hooks changed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, yeah, this popper's great and it looks good. It's only $15 and the other one's $20, but, well, you got to put two $4 hooks on it and change, yep, all the split rings. And, like, I think that's great. So you still have your regular jigs, but your, yep, premium high-end big one comes with the Gucci hooks on it.
Yeah, and also something I'm putting out there, I'm letting it up for the retailers to decide, but have a surface iron, like an LRS long range special for the guys that want the beefier hooks. You know, if a retailer wants that ST66 on our surface iron, by all means, just let us know. We'll make it happen.
That's cool. You guys have seen both, and I know that, you know, minor things can make a difference to a surface iron, a treble hook, a single hook, a heavier hook, a lighter hook. Where do you fall in the, you know, this hook is 10 times as strong and never needs to get changed, but it's not as light, so maybe the back end of the jig doesn't come around as good, but you don't have to worry about it bending out? Like, is it just one of those gray area things where there's never a...
It's the difference between surface iron and yo-yo fishing. When you're on a long rod surface iron, you can get away with that lighter hook because you can't put the pressure on it. The rod absorbs
it. Yeah, okay.
The rod absorbs,
yeah,
it. You,
sure,
got all that mono absorbs it. And you just hang on to the thing, and eventually they start coming at you, and you start whining. Yo-yos, you're straight to them. I mean, and typically, yeah, you're fishing braid to very short or,
yeah,
whatever.
That's a great
top
point.
Shot.
Sure.
And you're putting the wood to them, and you got to have a heavier hook.
Yeah, if you put a scale on the wall and pulled on it with your 10-foot rod and 40-pound,
yeah,
and then,
yeah,
did the same thing with a 6.5-foot rod and 60-pound, it's a whole,
yeah,
two different
even
worlds.
With 40-pound.
Yeah.
You know, if you did it with the same line pound test.
That rod is just that big shock absorber.
It's a big shock absorber. Yeah. That's
like
why,
it.
You know, traditionally, I like a lighter hook on a surface iron.
Yeah.
I'm willing to lose a fish, not to lose a jig.
Yeah.
For however, a kelp, the rock, or sure. whatever it is. And again, you know, as a guy, I know we won't get into who it is and what boat it was, but complaining about the jig is, oh, well, I keep bending the hooks. I said, well, you got a thing called a drag. Why don't you use it? You know, and he said, well, I'm hooking these fish in 60 feet of water. And I was on the boat with him, and I hooked those same fish in 60 feet of water. I put mine on the boat.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to necessarily pull hard. You just need to keep turning the handle.
Yeah.
So I remember Stinger back then would be fishing a light wire Gamagatsu treble.
Okay.
And it really dramatically changed that action of the lure. Now, I have to look at it as a standpoint of the big picture
sure.
customer base. And like Danny said, you know, if I was putting the thin wire hook on it, you know, I'd be getting complaints every day. I'm bending the hooks.
Right.
So I have to look at the masses.
Of course.
But like you said, you know, I mean, I think the largest yellowtail caught on our jig was like a 72-pounder.
At
Alinos on a yo-yo jig using our standard VMC.
Yeah, hook. Right.
And I'm like, well, he knew how to fish it. So I understand that today everyone's tight drags. We have that, you know, everyone's just butting that thing down. So, again, it's I try to look at the big picture. But like Danny said, I prefer the light.
And let's be very clear too. It's not like the VMC that comes standard. That is the industry standard heavy duty hook. Your jigs don't come with a light wire hook. They come with the what is accepted as the exactly. That's what you've always been synonymous with. A JRI might be a dollar more, but it's because the fit and finish is nice, the paint job is perfect, the rings are clean, the hooks are right. You know, I mean, you're paying for the quality that those lures are, and they're competitively priced the same as everything else. So you just get that high end.
And my question is, why would Stinger put a light wire Gamakatsu? I mean, did it swim that much better? Or
you know, he
just liked it.
He just loved it. And I would just sit there and I'd be like, what the heck is going on here? And then I switched it. I'm like, well, let me see. It worked. I mean, it was awesome. And shorter shank.
It has a lot to do with it. I can get into this really really heavily, but I won't. Even little dumb, when you get into the way lure swims, little dumb things like the size of that back ring, the farther that treble hook sits away from the lure, the slower the lure works. The closer it is, the easier it works.
I'm following you.
Yeah. See where I'm coming at?
I totally am.
So you have, I don't think it's necessarily the weight of the hook, more as it is the diameter.
And shorter shank or longer shank?
Of the hook.
I got
you. Know, the wire of the hook.
And you said it great, too, Jerry, like in the case of a guy like Stinger, his preference was he might be on the rev limiter of that hook being strong enough for this. And you know what? If he lost one, no big deal.
Yeah, you lose.
Go get another one.
Hook another one.
Yeah, you know, but maximizing the amount of potential and bites and everything, that's what he was going for. Not, you know, you're building what in your mind is the perfect jig for everybody, but everybody likes to tweak their tackle just a little bit and get it just right.
That's so cool. I mean, it's such a Southern California thing, too, right?
Like, I love it.
Well, truly Southern California.
It is.
The surface iron outside of getting into cedars, bonitas, and all that crap.
But that's all rooted here, though.
Santa Barbara to San Diego.
Right. Totally.
And mainly San Diego.
Yeah.
Even though most of these jigs were actually developed in the greater Long Beach, Pedro, so on and so forth. They put them to work down here.
It was very interesting.
Yeah. Totally. I got so much. I want to talk about Barracuda and Yellowtail and all this. Corey, we're going to have a great show. And talk about an unbelievable opportunity to have both of these boys sitting right next to us. It's going to be a really fun day.
It's cool. I mean, I've known Danny for...
beers.
40 plus. I don't know. I mean, my very first surface iron rod wrapped... by the man,
wow.
Danny
Lee. Cool.
I know. He used to go up to Harnell and bring the Harnells down, and the good old days.
Even Doug used to get his Harnells through shop through me.
It's so cool, man. If anybody wants to join us, please do. We're going to have a fun couple of hours and two ways to do it. As always, 213-432-1090 is the telephone number, or you can text us via via the app. I know there's a bunch of texts already coming through. All right.
Yeah, really
a bunch. So go on the app right there. It's a free download. You can says right there, text the show. You can send us a message. You do want to make sure you leave your name and telephone number. Jerry, we're giving away an awesome gift. What?
How about this?
Yeah, I brought a bag of goodies. I don't know how much we got here, but I got tons of jigs here with us. I got our new Death Charger Bluefin Tuna Bomb out here, so it got keychains here, our little micro jig keychains. So, yeah, we got some good, got some goodies. So call in and ask some cool questions for Danny and myself, and we'll get you hooked up.
Hand picked from Jerry. There's some cool stuff, and now that Tuna Bomb is brand new for you guys, the Depth Charge, right?
Depth Charger, correct.
And seeing just like we were talking about, the Eddie Bomb style of lure became so popular. But again, you were seeing those for sale for minimal dollar amounts that were sold online that had no business ever attaching themselves to a fish, wires pulling through, hooks coming off, and you did what JRI always did, found that, okay, well, how can we make this mousetrap better and make a very high-end version the way that you like it with the hooks that you like, and that's exactly what you did.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, it's down from the CNC wire forms that we made, it's super strong. We had custom designed hooks, our assist hooks specifically made to my spec for this bomb we made. The treble hooks, again, owner split rings. So it is a very strong lure. First, literally, day two of getting it out to the boats, we landed a 195-pound Aussie on the outer limits. Sends me a picture. It's like, they work. I'm
hey,
like,
that's
awesome.
Great.
So thanks to him to fish it, like, literally 2 days of getting out to market, and they hooked up a 195-pounder.
And that's going to be in that prize
pack. It'll be in the
pack. Yeah.
So, again, give us a shout, 213-432-1090, or give us a text via the app. Make sure you leave your name and telephone number. We'll have Danny Wade flip the prize coin at the end of the show. We'll be right back. It's Let's Talk Hook Up. More with Jerry from JRI and Danny Wade the Man when we return on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
Hey, San Diego. It's the Ford Black Friday sales event. 4 days of the biggest savings on an incredible selection. From F-150, Explorer, Bronco Sport, or the all-electric Mustang Mach-E. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers now through December 2nd and get great offers across the lineup of Ford trucks and SUVs. It's the Ford Black Friday sales event, and now is the best time to get behind the wheel of your brand new Ford and drive it home today. But hurry, these offers absolutely end December 2nd. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers, they'll be glad to hook you up.
The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. Need a thinner leader, more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label leader material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader shy fish. With exceptional knot and tinsel strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound tests for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound tests for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
All right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Cook Up. Jerry telling all these good stories and good times and being here with Danny. And if you guys want to join us, 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app.
It's going to be a very busy morning. Yeah. Obviously, phones are just about completely packed up. We do have one line still open, like Corey says, 213-432-1090. But I want to start us with a text. Lots of great texts. This one came through yesterday. So somebody was excited to put their text questions in. And it says, my question is for Dan and Jerry. I'm so excited to have you both on the radio show. My question, realistically, how long do you need to be able to cast a jig to be an effective jig fisherman? I hear all these people bragging about 100-yard casts. I practice a bit, but I still can't seem to be beyond that 65 to 70 yard. Is that good enough? Is the accuracy more important and is a swimming jig is the accuracy and a good swimming jig more important in regards to conditions, etc.? What should I be focusing on? That's from Tim and Tarzana.
The distance is not the issue. If you look, I mean, I've been at this game for God only knows how long. And of however many yellowtail I've caught in my life locally, I'm going to venture to say that 80 to 85% of it is within 100 feet of the boat. The boat's the attractant. The boat is why they're coming up. The boat is where the food is. The swimming jig certainly doesn't hurt you. But accuracy and patience, you know, you don't have to make that. Half the problem with, you know, I can cast far as anybody. Half the problem with making that big bomber cast, that 300-foot cast, is if you hook a fish on the end of your cast, you're toast.
Yeah, all you have
to do is because you're in 20 fathoms of water. That's 120 feet. That fish swims straight down. You're done.
Yeah. You know, and nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it. I don't care how hard you pull on it. I don't care what you do. You can't do anything about it. Wait them out. They're going to come to the boat. And again, if you look at the fish that blow up alongside most any sport boat, especially when it's on the hook, it's within 100 feet.
Interesting.
He also talks about a good swimming jig. And, Jerry, I think that's one of the things that you pride yourself in is just the consistency of how well the lures swim. And there's always a human element to everything. And there's always going to be one in the batch that's slightly better than the rest. And, you know, Danny talked about the idiosyncrasies of every little lure. How does one go about that? You know, I mean, like, you know, I think you touched on it. An accurate cast to a hungry fish is way more important than anything else.
Definitely. Yeah. Before I answer that question, I think, you know, you said 65 yards. I mean, that's plenty. I've seen a jig hook up literally 10 feet from the boat.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it's about not getting that bird's nest, being confident in your cast.
Great point.
You know, because you may have maybe like that 2 or 3 minute window. The last thing you need is get that bird's nest, and then you're just picking that line, and then that bite is gone. So for me, I'd rather have a consistent cast, like Danny was saying, a specific area. You see that boy, you see that bird flashing its, you know, flapping its wings, getting that jig there. Now, once it's in the water, this is where the jig comes in, that you've got a really good jig that actually stays in the water. So what does that mean? Is that you got current, you got wind, you know, things, those little subtle things, actually what maybe the jig will pop out and then it doesn't swim. Keeping that rod tip, you know, I think you like to keep that rod tip pointed at the jig. Some people keep some people keep that down. Get that jig. Do not give up. Bring that jig all the way in, because
swim it all the way into the boat.
Because I've seen how countless times, 1, 2, 3, they'll chase that thing all the way to the boat, and then they'll beeline away. But like I said, I've seen them catch 10 feet from the boat, hook it up, and then straight, like Dan said, straight down and game on. So for us, I mean, I'm all about putting out a good product. Years ago, shout out to In-N-Out. I used to work at In-N-Out.
Really?
Yeah, I did. That was like one of my first jobs. And so it's stuck in my head. If something didn't look right, they said, when in doubt, throw it out. And I tell that to the guys at the shop. I said, if you have to think about something, about a jig just not looking right, just throw
it
out.
Put it aside.
We don't want it, because, you know, if we're at the manufacturing point of, let me think about it, what is that going to mean when it's sitting on the wall? Or what if the guy who's going to pick it out for the customer is going to think about it? So we're nipping it at the butt at the production level. And believe me, it's not much, because our casting is very consistent. The aluminum, the brass we use, the zinc, very, very consistent. And, you know, so and you know, it minimal finishing for us. You know, so many people think, man, you could get a jig off the wall in it, and it's very, very consistent.
That's what we talk about, you know, like, the, you know, of there's a we're in a tremendous era if you're the customer of a, you know, that wants to go jig fishing. There are tremendous options these days, and, you know, there was a time when there wasn't as much, and now there's a lot of great options. But that's one of the things about JRI is it's, you make a very, very consistent every time. If you want a blue and white one and you pick one out, you know that you just know you're gonna have a good swimming lure in your hands.
I think these guys that are especially getting into this surface iron thing in the last few years, you know, whatever it is, I see a lot of it. And when you had Brawl and Bowden on here, you know, a month ago or whenever that was, you know, Matt was really hitting on it. And that's the same thing. If you're on a sport boat, you better be fishing monofilament. Leave your braid at home. or use it for a backing.
Mm-hmm.
But leave, fish monofilament. You're going to get more bites. You're going to get better casts. You're not going to get as many backlashes, and you're not going to break your line off when you get a backlash.
And the mono just absorbs all those errors.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, if you've got a fish pulling extra hard and you're pulling extra hard, the mono's your friend.
It makes you look good.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. But I see it so much. And I used to get into this rod, that reel, whatever. I don't care what rod and reel you want to use. I could care less. But you will be more successful on a sport boat
with
monofilament.
Yeah.
If you're on your own center console, you can do anything you want. That's your boat. Do whatever you want. But you're on these sport boats, you want to make that cast and get that cast for those fish and do it properly. Look at everybody that works on the San Diego, the Liberty, the
Mission Bell,
the Grande, all the half day boat guys. Look at those crew members. What do they have on their reels? It's monofilament, and there's a reason for it.
Right. Very well said, Dan.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Jerry, I want to talk real fast about, you have a lot of options when it comes to surface irons. When and why does somebody choose a size or a shape over something else? Because it's tough. Like, I'm a huge fan. I like the Stinger. I like the threes. I like the fours. I like the... You make different sizes of jigs. Like, when does a guy decide, I want this, I want that, I want big one, I want small one? Is it region? Is it areas? The feed they're on? The way that it swims? Like, there's too many options,
yeah.
Man. And I love it. Like, yeah. I love every bit about it.
So what's very interesting is one of the cool things as a manufacturer is especially when you have a large customer base. I think we're 25 retailers throughout Southern California and stuff like that. Now I start to see what are my popular jigs, mm-hmm. that are being sold in specific retailers. So now it's, now, like you said, it becomes regional. And so I'll give Dana Landing, for instance, as an example. The JRI-7 is, like, my number one seller of jigs is Dana Landing. And I remember when they were first my customers, like, why would a Dana Landing want my jigs? You know, it's like private boaters, right? Well, little did I find out, all these private boaters are launching right out of the launching ramp, going straight to La Jolla. And that JRI-7 is synonymous for La Jolla. And so I start to see smaller profile jigs up in the L.A. area. JRI-7's La Jolla. JRI-4's a little bit larger jig, the Coronados. I had the JRI-5, which was when Cedros was open. You know, that was our largest surface iron. That was a perfect jig for Cedros. So, the JRI-3, I love that 3 because that's like, I get so many calls of birds were hitting on that jig.
Yeah.
So it's just this incredible, swimming jig. The DW1, the same thing. I mean, it's just that third little skip and boom, it's just that, there's a specific time and day when you want a specific size jig. And thankfully now, as a manufacturer standpoint, I get to see exactly what's being used where, and I could focus now production on where the fish are, and then I could start kind of pre-flighting my production to get those jigs out there.
Something we haven't seen, I guess we have to a certain degree, but the intro to surface iron fishing, the Barracuda, like that L.A., you mentioned L.A. and Long Beach and regions, and like that, God, for my entire life has been like just an area where the Barracuda kind of gathered.
The Barracuda is also, it's a good learning fish.
That's sure how I grew exactly.
up doing, no doubt.
I might be wrong, and maybe I shouldn't say anything, but I think our issue with the Barracuda down here, for one thing, is Imperial Beach.
Oh, okay.
The sewer.
Right.
And the other thing are the tuna pens. Those guys seine anything to feed those tuna.
I got you.
And they cut it up. And
it's not just sardines.
No. It's anything. And I think that's also an issue with the sand bass. Now, the sand bass showed up really well down there this year. But it hasn't for 10 or 12 years,
And I've heard that, too, before, Danny. But listen, I worked on the EBCO and the catch line. You can't catch all that stuff, man.
Well, then where is it?
I don't know, but I
well,
just...
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
It's a great discussion. I don't know.
Where is it?
Right.
It's not one is a problem. It's all of it's a problem.
Or the other one I've heard is the Mexicans are fish trapping and catching all the sand bass. There's no way.
But again, look at the overall picture. That sand bass would start out down at the border.
Yeah.
And then it would bite all the way to San Clemente.
Yeah, you're right.
Where'd it go in San Clemente?
Yeah, you're right.
Where'd it go in Dana?
Yeah.
Where did it go in Newport?
I know.
And that's what I'm getting at. It's an overall problem, and I think it starts down there.
I got you.
That barracuda is such a... It's the way. I mean, it was the way. I mean, it's, at least that's the way that I grew up, was going on the new Seaforth, and you're gonna get you. It's gonna teach you to cast, and it teaches you how to wind through the bites, and they're a very user friendly fish. And then you know, that was the other thing too. Like you didn't target. You always hoped for and tried to target, but it made the yellowtail such a special prize too. You know, when the yellowtail is the fish that you target, when you don't catch it, it's man. But then when it's the special bonus, or you're a kid and you're fishing and you're excited catching barracuda, and then you watch a Danny Wade or a Corey Sandin or a Jerry, like you watch those guys watching birds and seeing, okay, this is the opportunity, and then the, you know, like it was the way that I got to come up
and that was especially the Coronado Island fishing. You know, when I was a kid and working on the AIB boat, you know, out of the pier, you know, you get, if you had your 20 or 30 yellow, you had a really nice day.
Sure.
But you had, you know, 65 bonita and 75 barracuda and assorted sand bass and calico bass along with it. And you know, where'd that, all that bone go? You know, it's offshore, but it doesn't come up the coast.
Yeah.
So where do you know?
Very interesting.
So there's reasons. You know, there's things behind it that
yeah.
You know, and again, I could be way off base, but that's just my thought. You know?
I mean, it's a friendly debate, is what
sure,
it is.
Yeah, sure.
That's all good.
Even when I was a kid fishing on like the Speed Twin and a Scat One and whatnot out of Atlanta.
Well, you're going back,
I've been doing this for a while. Again, the first yellowtail I caught on was on a San Diego in 1965.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And I caught it on a 6X Junior like 7 years old or 8 years old.
That's crazy.
But that yellowtail you'd see up in La Jolla traditionally were 5, 6, 7, 8 pound fish, you know.
Yeah.
And now, they're 30 and 40 pound fish, you know. And what changed there? You know, something changed. La Jolla's always been known to put out that, you know, one fish every 5, 6, 7 years. 25-pound test on a rat rod and strip a squid in February.
You got a 50-pounder.
and a guy gets a 50-pounder. You know, I've never been on a boat before.
But I think that's why we love fishing. We love the ocean, and so many things change and change for the better, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the yellowtail at the islands currently.
Exactly, you know, touching on the different sizes of jigs and so on. Again, La Jolla is traditionally a smaller profile. Why? The fish are bigger there than they are at the islands.
Yeah, that's a great
point.
As
a rule. Especially now.
We have so many good things to talk about.
Great,
we've got, another hour and a half, right? Talking with two of the gurus, and you want to join us again, 213-432-1090, or you can send us a text via the app. We're going to be right back. More great conversation. We'll return on Let's Talk a Kapap and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
It may be winter in Southern California, but those of us who live here know it's a great time of year to go fishing, and certainly not time to put your gear away. This is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing, in Mission Bay, the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. This is the ideal time for bay bass fishing, and I get the inside scoop from Johnny. Heck, he will even rent you one of our killer blue skiffs. This is also a good time to go work on your reels, and Doug is the man for that job. If big largemouth bass are your bag, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. They have all the right stuff and live bait for a perfect day on the lake. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle is super cool too, for both freshwater and saltwater tackle. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle is on Broadway and Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. Boy, all this talk about surface iron fishing, what can you say? Couple of the best surface iron casting reels ever made. The debate, Trinidad 20A and a Tranks 500. On one side, extreme performance of that Trinidad 20A. I don't know if there's ever been a better reel made to cast a lure. And then you look at Tranks, incredibly user-friendly, variable braking system, level line, still plenty of drags. And you could put that reel in the hands of any person who's never done it before, adjust the braking system to their ability, and they're going to walk away and make cast after cast. Just like Jerry was talking about, without backlash, without without issue. And then, you know, on the flip side of it, the expert, you put a Trinidad 20 in the hands of a Corey Sandon, you're going to watch a jig go as far as you want to go, farther than you want to go.
Well, Trinidad 20 definitely can change a game for sure, even for somebody who doesn't know what they're doing like myself. Yeah.
That's for sure. For more information, look at your local dealer or check out Shimano.com.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. This is saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin, tuna, and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever-drag two-speed reels. Shimano Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever-drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of loads. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-style metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. AFCO's Crossbreed jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. AFCO's Crossbreed jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty split rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on AFCO.com.
Hey, welcome back. Let's Talk Hookup. And a shout out to April. April was listening, right?
Yeah.
Stinger's wife.
Yeah. April Montero. Hi. She just sent me a message. She says, great. Let's Talk Hookup today. Thank you for taking talking a bit about Ray. It warmed her heart. So, super, super big inspiration to me. Probably to a lot of us. I know.
Brings a tear to my eyes.
Awesome.
Ryan Boston. I mean, he's instrumental in JRI Stinger. I mean, it just there's so many people out there that were so much.
To piss them off all the time.
I bet you did. Like, I did it on purpose.
I didn't do it on purpose, but he was still always pissed off. He's probably still pissed off at me up in heaven right now.
We'd be on the Malahaney and, you know, chasing around, you know, bird schools and throwing our marks and whatever. I'd always let them have first cast.
Yeah.
Go for it, Ray. Go for it. Yeah. And I'd come right behind him, make a cast, and stick my rod on his shoulder.
Oh, that's so fun.
He'd at me.
Stager was always so fun in the tackle store, too. And, you know, he was always very forthcoming with information and was always very willing to help somebody. But it was always a style of Stinger that had a bit of sarcasm and a bit of fun and a lot of wisdom. And, yeah, that was a great man for sure. That was really cool, April. Good morning.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, hey, we got so much fun stuff to cover, Corey. So many great things to talk about. Phones have been very busy, but we do have an open phone line if somebody wants to get through.
And that would be at 213-432-1090. And giving away an awesome assortment of JRIs today, right? I mean, a cool hand selected from Jerry himself. How about that?
You got it. Well, hey, I wanted to read another fun text. This is from Gary in Lawndale. It says, Jerry and Danny, my question is, up in the L.A. area, I watch the very best jig fishermen, and they all tend to be more concerned with the birds than anything else. Can you tell us a little bit about why that is and what you're looking for? How do birds affect our jig fishing?
Turn birds. The turn birds show you where the fish are. So, and again, I've covered this a numerous times, but you watch turn birds, you'll see two or three, and maybe they're 100 feet above the water. But they're sitting there just doing that flitter back and forth, and they're just, you know, that shaking their wing, their heads are down. Well, that fish is approximately half that distance below the water. As those turn birds come closer, the fish are coming higher, and they're pushing the bait up. So that's what the birds are for. The turn birds are on the fish all the time. Seagulls are picking up scraps.
Yep.
So seagulls will show you fish, definitely,
but not as much as
a turn bird. Yeah, not like a turn bird.
That was a lot. I mean, if you're listening to this show, and you can go back and listen to the last 20 seconds.
Yeah.
That is everything in any fisherman's, like, should be in their handbook there, what Danny just said.
I mean, you can even get more into it. You can have a group of birds.
Or even one bird?
That's where we're getting at. And they're milling around, they're dipping and diving, and seagulls just do that all the time anyway. And you see that one turn just stop. Dead in its tracks. Yeah. And again, I don't know whether it be 10 feet above the water or 100 feet, but and it's head down and it's just paralyzed.
Puts the brakes on.
Yeah.
you better be casting.
So. Yeah. No, and sometimes you could even hear them when they start screeching or doing their little, yeah. And you're like, oh,
Richard Jackson, a buddy of mine, he worked for Everingham for years.
You don't know him very well. Yeah.
He was. I was asking about. You know, you see turnbirds, and they all just take off at the same time, and they're just squeaking and squawking, and they're hauling ass to wherever they're going. And I was talking to him about that, and he says that's because they're talking to their buddies.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why they fly so low to the water, because sound travels better across the surface of the water. And he said they hear their buddies 5 and 6 miles away.
And that's generally, like, when you see them down low like that, that's usually distance.
They're
like,
traveling.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
They're going.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible stuff, Danny.
And Jerry, is there anything? I mean, there anything better than that? Like that—that's the fish that you earned too. Anytime you get lucky enough to catch a yellowtail on a service iron, it's a great thing. A blind cast fish, you couldn't be more stoked. But boy, one where you picked it off and you were standing there having a cold one with your buddy, and you saw the birds group up and you see them get together, and one is coming, and he stops and he flares and he twitches his wings, and you make a cast right there, and your lure hits the water, and you turn the handle three times, and you're bit. Like,
oh God,
you earned that one.
Yeah.
And nothing better.
You know, that's one of the things I remember Stinger doing, because he would just sit there and just, like, not look at me, just smoke a cigarette. And then he's like, and then he just quietly just cast it. Boom, he was hooked up. And that's why I learned. And then I got to the point, same thing, and I'm like, this effer's mine. This fish is mine, you know. And sure enough, it's just like, boom, you know, cast it right there, a little, drop it, you know, 3-4 cranks, boom, you're hooked up.
I love it.
That is the best.
You even get to where, whether it be a group of fish or a handful of fish or whatever it is, and you got things working, you know, you're making the lure swim right, you're putting it in the right place, you know, okay,
game
I should be getting bit.
Yeah,
anytime.
It's time.
And it's not, well, I hope I get bit. It's okay, come on, you know.
And yeah, boom. You're there. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, the phones are packed solid, Corey. Let's jump into them.
How about Chuck? Chuck calling from Dana Point. Good morning, Chuck.
Morning, Chuck.
Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Man, I love that knowledge just coming through, taking notes all the way. You know, they have the bar down the sides of the fish, what they feel, you know, when. And was the heavier lures throw a bigger vibe than the lighter lure? You know, if you had a graph bar showing the strength of the waves that they throw off.
There's something to that, because they do have a lateral line. And, you know, the lateral line is their main source of sense. I would think that depends on the day. You know, I mean, sometimes they react to a smaller jig and a smaller profile far better than a bigger one. And sometimes it's vice versa.
Yeah,
and you know that's a tough question to answer. You know,
let me ask it in another way. It's probably equally tough to answer. How and when do you decide which yo-yo jig to tie on? You know, I mean, you have your KO6 and 66 and Stinger heavies and DW1 heavies, and you have brass and you have zinc, and there's a lot of options in a yo-yo jig, big, small, dense, not dense. What is it? What is the determining factor most common? Is it just the depth that they're in? Is it the size of fish? Is it the mood? Like, what are the things that, you know, that make both of you guys choose to tie on one yo-yo lure versus another?
For me, it's depth and current. Depth and current is the big one. So, you know, if you're fishing the islands, at least for me, you know, the JRI-6 is a smaller profile jig, because you know you're, what, 20 fathoms at that, at the most. But now you're going up to Colnett, you're going, you know, further south, Alijos, you're much deeper. So, and usually your boat captain will tell you, is like, hey, dude, the current is racing. You know, that's why when we're fishing bluefin tuna jigs, right, we're in the heavier, because that current, you got to get down deep. So for me, it's current and, you know,
depth. I getting back to this lateral line, you know, and there's so much that, you know, this is stuff that we'll probably never really truly ever know. But I, you know, I can't tell you how many times you see it. And me and Brawler were talking about this a while back. You make your cast on the surface iron, and you see this fish from 100 feet away just beelining, you know. And it gets to your jig in like a second.
Oh, my God.
And well, how did that fish 100 feet away know it's there?
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't think it could see it, but it may feel it.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know, you know. And then getting, like Jerry was saying, with the yo-yo thing, I prefer a smaller jig in that 20-ish fathom of water. And because you can wind it a little bit slower and still get the same amount of movement versus being in deeper water where you got to have it because you got to get there. But you got to wind it faster because you got to make it move. And the yo-yo fishing, I think, is more lateral line sufficient than the surface iron because, again, you know, you're fishing in, you know, 45 fathoms. You know, and visibility decreases rapidly, and they feel it. Even that bluefin, you know, you can't tell me that bluefin knows where that jig is when it's in 390 feet of water.
That's a great point.
But it feels it.
Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
For sure.
Yeah, I like it. Well, hey, we had another great text come through. It says, good morning, guys. My question is for Jerry. Out of all of the JRI lineup, if you had to choose one, what is your favorite surface iron? That's from Mac in San Diego.
Oh,
putting you on the spot.
Mac, right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you're it.
I think the all-around, it's going to be the Stinger. Stinger Solid Mint. Okay. That is my all-around go-to jig. I've seen my son fish that. I mean, that's his go-to jig. He's been fishing it since he was a kid. And we were just talking about...
Like, yes, tell us the story. Yeah.
So you guys were doing the Shimano commercial, and I'm like, you know, you guys were talking about the Trains 500. Well, my son was, I think, what, 12 years old when I took him on his first long-range trip, and he caught his, at the time, his largest yellowtail at 34 pounds fishing.
Oh, my gosh.
Fishing a Stinger Solid Mint and on a Trains 400. Fast forward 1 year later, he beats it at 36 pounds on a Trains 400 Stinger Solid Mint. So if my son's out fishing and he's got his jig bag, it's Solid Mint Stinger, and that's my go-to jig as well.
I know both of you guys and had the pleasure of fishing with you. I know that you both prefer a full-size big reel for jig fishing. You're not small guys. You got big hands. You like to fish a full-size reel. But there are a lot of guys out there, like your son, maybe somebody younger or whatever. There are a lot of guys that do fish with a smaller, low-profile reel. I know it's not your favorite, but what I do love is how well that DW1, it's almost as if you made a surface iron for those guys. Yes. I mean, that, you know, that's, I know that a Tranks 400 will never be Danny Wade's favorite surface iron reel. Uh-huh. But there is a lure that's got his name on it that's so universal that it fits. Is great for you. That reel's probably not going to be right for fishing a JRI-4.
Sure.
But you've got some great options for guys that do like a smaller jig reel and a smaller, you know, like something very comfortable to fish with, a bass rod, yes, style of surface iron.
I think that was one of the best things when we developed the DW1 back in, was it 2020-ish, right around there.
Yeah, it was, everything was closed.
Yeah, everything was closed. I mean, I thought for sure JRI was done, right? We're COVID, who knew? And
we all thought we were done.
I know, yeah, we all thought we were done, right? And so
turns out to be the best thing ever.
Yeah. And so, you know, we were working on this jig, and we're shaving off the jig, and next thing you know, we're like, I'll never forget it. We're at the bow and the premiere, and Danny had the first, you know, prototype of the DW1, and he throws it, casts it, and literally simultaneously Danny and I were like, whoa.
That's
and
cool.
And we just see this jig and just does that kick, and we're like, holy crap, what the hell, we're just blown away. And then unbeknownst to us, that it was perfect for these level wind high ratio reels. It just sticks in the water.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that kind of revolutionized things a little bit, because, you know, the older reels had the lower gear ratios, the 4-to-1s, and now we're up to the 8-to-1s and this and that. So jigs weren't really, you know, made for these high ratio reels that are popping out of the water. And I think the DW1's a great jig for guys who love fishing level winds, higher speed ratios, stays in the water. Even when the current's up, you got the winds, it's a great all-around jig.
How many variations did you, like...
There's only one.
I was going to say, like, yeah, how what did it take before you guys knew that it was right?
I was at North Island.
Yeah.
I was with a buddy of mine, a guy named Dave Fusco, and he had a boat, him and his partners, they had a, I don't know, 26, 28-foot Parker or something like that, and he asked me if I'd go with him because he wanted to, you know, learn a little bit about the island. I said, all right, let's go, you know. And that was the same thing when, you know, it was just, they just kind of opened it, you know, you had to show up in the same vehicle, you had to have your mask on and this nonsense, and we got out there, and I said, well, let's go take a look, you know, and
And they wanted to go troll. And I said, no. What'd you bring me along for if you want to go troll? And we got to North Island and said, this is where it's going to be. And instead of traditionally, like in that 20 fathom, the stuff was up in like 14 and 15. And we had 12 fish on the boat that day, and I had 9 of them.
Wow.
And it all came on that DW1, the original.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I broke it when I hit the island. But and I thought, well, yeah, we're on something.
This is it.
Yeah. And again, when we were on the bow of the Premier, because, I mean, Bobby Taft was on the side of the Top Gun looking at it, and Ray Summer was on it. It was all kind of, oh.
You know. Hey, what's that? What's that? Get me in. What's that? How do I get my hands on it?
Yeah. I mean, when we first got that first batch in, there were guys waiting at the door.
it was insane. My buddy John at Blue Pacific Tackle, we crashed his website. He had 500 jigs within 20 minutes. He posted them. They just poof, just disappeared.
Gone. I love it. I love it, man. That's so cool.
Pretty crazy stuff. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We've got, catch reports
you
coming
got it,
up?
Buddy.
Fish reports, your calls, texts, and more. We're going to return on Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey everyone, James Holst here with Norse Lithium, the official battery partner of Let's Talk Hookup. Here at Norse Lithium, we have two goals that drive who we are and what we do. The first is to make the highest quality, longest lasting lithium batteries available with a complete lineup of batteries that include 12, 24, 36 volt and starting batteries. Second, in addition to offering a 10-year warranty on all Norse Lithium marine batteries, we provide amazing customer service before and after the sale. Check us out online at norslithium.com, that's NORSKlithium.com, or call us at 831-232-9063. Or to see Norse Lithium batteries in person, stop by the Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood or Anglers Marine in Anaheim and see why Norse Lithium batteries should be in your boat.
No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered. Norse Lithium.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
24 years ago, I visited this amazing place called Haida Gwaii Archipelago. I just could not get enough of these amazing islands, natural beauty, friendly people, and phenomenal fishing. I knew I had to spend more time there. Moving forward to today, here I am, a fishing lodge owner. Hi, this is Valerie Hilbridge from Queen Charlotte Safaris in beautiful Haida Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada. We are a boutique lodge just steps from the Sand Strait Harbor offering a truly unique fishing adventure. Our fishing is world class. You will fish for king salmon, halibut, lingcod, and much more. Our fishing grounds are untouched, unspoiled, and surrounded by stunning scenery. We are dedicated to making your adventure an experience that will be a lifetime of memories. We will welcome you as friends, and you will leave as part of the Queen Charlotte Safaris family. You will come for the fishing, and you'll come back for the memories. We are booking now. Please give me a call at 1-877-815-2892 or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or website qcsafaris.com.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.